In the 13th century, the mystic Sufi poet Rumi wrote a beautiful poem. The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. 800 years later, the magic of his words and these questions still remain true for countless people around the globe. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night, burning with the passion for what you deeply desire? Do you ever listen to the voice that's so passionate, silently whispering to you at the darkest hours before dawn? Let's break the rules and ask the question in answer to the question. What do you have in common with NASA legends, rock stars, polar explorers, spiritual teachers, and Angry Birds? It's actually a lot more than you think. It's these kinds of questions that set a chain reaction of events, supernova style, that drop us into the very conversation we're about to have. But before we press play on that conversation, you might want to know a little bit more about our next guest. Meet Dragos, the producer of the amazing new movie, a global educational project that is currently on its global world tour. It has an extraordinary message to share with the world. What's more, and you might want to take a breath for us because there's quite a bit coming your way, he's also the founder and president of Success Engineering Corporation. It's a company that's focused on providing cutting-edge sustainable solutions for enhancing personal and organizational success. Dragos is a worldwide official provider of NASA's Social Risk Management and Leadership Program, offering international clients access to the same tools and techniques used by NASA and their highly complicated projects. He's a member of several international research committees. He's invited to peer review on leading scientific publications and journals. He's currently a National Geographic collaborator and the producer of The Amazing You, which we've just mentioned a little bit earlier. As a speaker, he's been on the stage on 5 continents: Europe, North America, Asia, Australia, and yes, even Antarctica. Drawing from his experience as a space scientist, combined with state-of-the-art discoveries in leadership intelligence, Dragos bridges the language of science and spirituality to support people in discovering their wonderful potential locked in their hearts and minds. He was born in a small town in Romania, one of Eastern European countries that was so tragically affected by the communist regime. That made it harder to follow his purpose and his passion. But where he stands now is an incredible feat. There was something beautiful that he said that really made an impact on me, and it was this idea of, the dreams didn't belong to me anymore. I belong to the dream. Let me just say that again because it is so beautiful. The dream didn't belong to me anymore. I belong to the dream. Do you know that feeling? When it just transcends and happens on such a different level. The summit feels like that for me. And that's, I think, where every single speaker feels about their work. And that's what we would love to spark for you. for your dreams to no longer feel like yours, but for you to feel like a part of your dream. Here's your chance to experience just that.
As human beings, we fear the dark. We fear the unknown. But the darkness that we fear is the same force that drives us to explore and to expand our minds and our hearts and conquer our false limits. You are embarking now on a magical journey. It's a journey into the wonderful unknown and a journey into your future. And this new journey will take you above and beyond your wildest dreams and will reveal to you the possibilities of who you can really become in life. And remember, as you take the first steps in the direction of your highest purpose in life, you can only walk forward, never backwards. As Oliver Holmes said, a man's mind stretched to a new idea never goes back to its original dimensions. This journey will become your new life. You will surrender to the mysteries. You will enjoy every step you take into the great unknown. You will discover the amazing you, and you will learn how to design and engineer your life in new and meaningful ways. On this journey, you will not be alone. NASA legends that put men on the moon, visionaries who build spaceships to travel far into our galaxy, and rock stars that turn music into magic, entrepreneurs that change the social paradigms with their business genius will share with you the fundamental principles for creating and living a full and meaningful life. Together with them, you step into the amazing future.
Hey, Dragos, thank you so much for joining us on the Global Movement Summit. It is absolutely amazing to have you here and to share your inspirational story with the world.
Thank you so much, Lena, for having me here. It's a great honor to be on your show, and I think let's get started.
Absolutely, let's take into it. I know you're an extremely busy globetrotter and a global ambassador and just somebody who's got a really powerful message to say. And I think the work that you're doing is very, very exponential. In fact, your film that you produced, The Amazing You, has recently also been recognized for Global Excellence Award in Education and Personal Change. So congratulations yet again to that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, it's a great honor to receive this award after almost 2 years of intense and hard work on this project. I'm extremely happy to see that the value I intended to deliver is actually growing more and more every day.
That amazing experience, because I mean there's so many different aspects of you. You're quite the adventurer. You're constantly experiencing and pushing the limit on certain things, going to the corners of the globe and potentially space with your NASA affiliations.
Okay.
And now you've kind of stepped into a space of really stepping into being a content producer and using content for innovation and for change and as a way of helping people connect to their potential and unlock experiences that they've had. So what kind of made that transition happen for you? At what point did you kind of go, I now need to be creating movies and these kinds of experiences?
It's a very long story, and I'm going to share how I got, you know, how did I get from, you know, doing a journey to Antarctica and a journey to the North Pole, how I got from there to doing a PhD in aerospace and from there to creating movies and basically helping people grow into their most amazing dreams. The story actually begins when I was a student quite a few years ago. And because I didn't have any money and I had to live, I was in a quite a bad relationship, so to say. I was spending a lot of time in the bookstore, in the libraries. And I was reading everything I could get my hands on in terms of nonfiction. So if you think of nonfiction, that means from spirituality to marketing to self-development to psychology to everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you change a lot and if you study a lot and if you read a lot, that actually you know, that helps you change the way you view the world. And I began after so many books and after so many good programs, I began to see the world differently and to apply what I've learned into my own life. And I began to get incredible results. Like, for example, when I was 24 years old, I organized two expeditions by myself alone, one to Antarctica, one to the North Pole. Then, after a couple of years, I went to New Zealand, where I was basically the head of the entire division in Asia Pacific of a company. I was quite young for that position. And then, I applied the same information to go study at NASA with the best space university in the world. But, you know, throughout this process, you know that when you discover something and when you see results in your life, you also want to share with your friends. And my greatest frustration was that, you know, even if I had results and even if I had a PhD in aerospace, most of my friends were really, really, you know, reluctant to hear my message, to hear the information and the idea that I was applying in my own life. So my thinking was, what is the issue with the message I'm giving? Is it me because they don't believe me, or is it the message because it's too out of the context where they have, you know, been used to? So I got to the understanding that some people ignore, you know, let's say, self-development programs and books and all sorts of information because simply it doesn't fit the context of their own mental boxes, if that makes sense. So, for example, if you're an engineer or if you're a scientist, you tend to exclude what's not in your own mental paradigm. So my thinking was, if I am to give a message to the world, to people who don't search for, you know, self-empowerment, who don't search for self-development, who don't search for their true potential because they simply haven't had access to this kind of information, or they have simply denied, you know, its existence in their own life. My thinking was, what if I bring some of the best minds in the world, from NASA legends who put man on the moon and who built the Hubble Space Telescope, or who sent the robots Spirit, Opportunity, and Curiosity to Mars? Or what's really sexy and appealing for younger generations? And then I got, you know, I understood that rock stars maybe are a channel through which they can actually understand more about themselves. And what else do younger generations actually spend time on? And then I got to the founders of The Angry Birds, which is the best-selling game of in history so far. So I put all these people together in a very sexy concept called The Amazing View, in order to give an empowering message through the channels that are simply too difficult to, you know, to bypass in terms of credibility, in terms of their accomplishments. I mean, if you don't believe an author who maybe wrote a book on a topic, or if you don't believe a speaker or a motivational guru or so, you simply cannot deny the value that, for example, NASA leaders who build the Hubble Space Telescope or the three robots that are now on Mars have brought into our world. And also in the process, this was actually a learning path for me also, because I was also curious, you know, how does a person spend 15 or 20 years working on the same idea, on the same project? How do you start from nothing when you, and you become a rock star? How do you start from nothing and you create institutions and universities and whatever your dreams is? How do you start from a student performing? How do you start from being a student and you create one of the companies that now sent robots to the moon? Mm-hmm. And my thinking was that if they can actually accomplish these big visions for many years, they can also teach us how we can also fulfill our dreams and our heartfelt desires, you know. And my question that actually led me on a journey on five continents, from the US to Australia and from Europe all the way to Russia and New Zealand, was, what actually allows us for so many years, what really drives us for so many years to search for and follow our most cherished and heartfelt desires? How do we spend, you know, how do we dedicate our life to transforming the impossible into reality? Because this is what these people have actually achieved in their own lifetimes. And that was my mission with the Amazing You. And actually what I found is that behind all great achievements, behind what they have accomplished, actually is something that is that we have in common with them also. Is having a sense of purpose and a sense of contribution to what their life is about and to what they want to contribute to the world. So the work is not only about, you know, what their passion is. I think it goes way, way more than having a passion. It's about having a deep, heartfelt sense of purpose and acting from what you really value. And that's my common lesson from all these people. So it's about balancing both the human mind, which is obviously the weight and the instrument to transform that purpose, that, you know, that wonderful feeling in your heart into reality. But it's also about discovering that purpose that you have in this lifetime.
So it's a beautiful marriage of the mind and the soul in a way.
Exactly, yes.
Because you've got that tangible element and then you've got the piece that kind of goes in between all of that.
And it's quite an interesting metaphor that I was flying yesterday from Finland back home, where I had a sold out event, and I had this flash of insight, you know, that like having a dream is pretty much like flying an airplane. First of all, the moment you take off and the moment you begin working on your dream is probably the most dangerous one, where you really have to pay attention. As you climb and you begin to work, and you know, it's as your building begins to develop and you take a bit of altitude, sometimes it can get really bumpy, but that's when you have to have the most power and put the most power into your dream, because that's when you take off. And the moment that you reach your altitude, things begin to settle down and you can push the engines a bit, you know, lower. And I think it's, you know, I think in life everything is about balance. Like, for example, if you're in an aircraft, if you're flying too fast, then the air will not hold the aircraft. So, for example, if you're thinking too much and you don't use your intuition, you don't put your heart into things, then obviously it's not going to work. But also, if you're flying and the speed is too low, again, you will probably crash. So if you're just feeling and you're not thinking about it, then it's also a bit dangerous. So I think that the key trick for us is to find the balance between putting heart into things and also thinking about things and actually taking a lot of action in the process.
Absolutely. And what I love what you were saying is, in that journey, you've kind of, it's really about looking about the paradigm and the architecture of what's possible, and then being in a space of balancing what's actually going to support you, what's actually in alignment with that, and letting that unfold for you, and letting that support your journey, letting that be your spacecraft.
Exactly, yes. And I think it all comes down to something that is what I call the fundamental parameter for living an authentic and fulfilled life. Is, and most people, unfortunately and unconsciously, actually avoid this, is to define reality. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I'm not a big fan of positive thinking. I don't think it works. I think it can do more damage than it actually, you know, promises. And I think defining reality is critical for everyone. What is the reality that you live in? Like, we all have a box, right? We have a box in terms of our finances. We have a box in terms of our relationships, our health, the country where we come from, the skin color. As much we don't like to accept that, it's in sometimes it can be a box and so on. And I think it's critical to start from defining and accepting the box that we're in. And only in that accepting, we can actually discover the creativity that we need to be able to transform our dreams into reality by accepting the box. a famous psychologist said that creativity is not something that is just, you know, like random. It creativity requires boundaries. It's like a water on a riverbed. It has to have the boundaries, and those boundaries are the boxes in which we actually live our lives each day. So defining reality for me, it's absolutely critical as an individual. You know, what's really my health status? What's really, you know, my financial status? How do I start? What do I want? What are the limitations and how do I go beyond them? Accepting reality, it's absolutely critical. And also another thing that I have learned from doing the Amazing You project is how you regard failure. You know, this is like a topic that most speakers try to, you know, to approach. Speaking, there's no failure. There's only feedback. And I think this applies if you're just starting up and you have a small, startup company doing online stuff. That's, you know, okay, we didn't have a failure. We had we have big challenges and so on. But I think it's helpful to, again, coming down to addressing reality. I think it's helpful to stop changing words around and actually accepting failure as a failure, a mishap as a mishap, or just a challenge for a challenge. Let's say, for example, you are the CEO of an airline company, right? Or if you're an airplane pilot, and because of you, you know, there's a crash and you kill 500 people. Can you simply change the word around with, you know, from failure to an opportunity? I mean, it comes.
That would be a little bit twisted,
yeah,
wouldn't
but,
it?
I mean, some coaches and some speakers, you know, advise changing the words around. What I've learned is from this kind of defining reality approach is that there are two steps in our mental process. First of all, when we try to define reality, you know, we simply look at what is. But unconsciously, what we do is the second step, we begin to judge reality. You know, this shouldn't be like this. And, you know, we begin to judge both the situation and both ourselves for being in that situation. So I think we need to separate the two and face reality, but do not judge reality. So, I mean,
or build expectations around it, like let it just be what it is.
Exactly. I mean, a failure is a failure, but, you know, it doesn't define an individual. It defines a context, an event, you know, something happening. So I think that has to be separate from an individual doing that that kind of thing. Because even though most inspirational books speak about the power of the individual, the potential within ourselves, honestly, we are more dependent on context. We are more dependent, our thinking, our decisions, our mental processes actually are more dependent on context than they are on our own will.
Well, that's how we shape reality, isn't it?
Exactly. So I think another lesson for me, a big lesson from The Amazing You, was that if you want to change, to change the way you think and to change your result, is to definitely change the context and the people you surround yourselves with. Because there are a lot of what I like to call hidden or invisible or subconscious forces that drive our behavior. And for example, one of them is called social proof. And a lot of marketers use social proof to, you know, to convince clients that, you know, products are good because a lot of people use it, and the greater the number of people, you immediately assume that the greater the product is. And in most of the cases, that is fine. But let's assume, for example, the case where you start a business, you don't know exactly what to do, and in moments of uncertainty, unconsciously and automatically, you simply look at what the others are doing. You're looking for social proof. So if you don't know what restaurant to go to, you see reviews, you look what others are advising you to do, and so on. So basically, you follow what others are saying. In the case of a business. In the case of, let's say, I have a dream that I want to feel to fulfill. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty. It's a lot of, you know, I don't know where I'm going from here. And it's really dangerous to look at the social proof in that moment, because if you look at the social proof in that moment and you don't have people that support you, that empower you, most likely you will just do what they did, you know, go continue being in a job that you don't like, or simply following the I can't do it way of thinking. So I think it's critical to shut up at the beginning and don't tell anybody of what your dream is, and just to work on it, but don't tell.
Right, I know you really had that experience when you were traveling, that you didn't want to tell people your experience. And I think it's a very interesting thing that you bring up with social proof, because it is so many different dimensions to it. Like what you're saying now is so valid, because we then put our power in other people's hands. We get them to make the decisions for us rather than empowering ourselves. Whereas what you're kind of doing with the amazing you, where you brought a panel of social proof experts in a way speaking mm-hmm. into it, it isn't about telling you how it's done. It's these are the opportunities out there. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to resonate? So instead of going to this restaurant or doing your business that way, it's these are the opportunities. These are the pros and the cons and the scientific formula behind that. But it's what's really possible. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And actually, there's one more thing that I want to add. As you know, as human beings, we tend to have an order of, you know, first we think, then we say or speak, and then we do. And one of the greatest lessons that, I mean, it's been around for about 2000 years, but we simply tend to ignore it, is always, I mean, you always know the tree by the fruit. So in terms of social proof and how you adapt this saying to our modern life is, I have, for example, only myself, I can speak for myself only. I am always and only listening and taking advice from people who have actually accomplished what they are telling me. So, I mean, nobody would like to go for advice on, you know, for health to a doctor that is sick. Or you don't take advice from a financial advisor that has no money. Or, you know, or you don't take advice from friends who haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish, because if they did accomplish that, you would probably want to listen. But if they didn't accomplish, then why listen to them? So I would say,
which goes back to possibility, because in their mind it's impossible, in your mind it just hasn't been done.
Exactly. And if you look at this the other way around, so if you ask somebody who hasn't accomplished something, they will tell you it's impossible, simply because they haven't accomplished it. And if you ask somebody who has done it, they will most likely tell you that you can do it because they have done it before. So it's not like you have to play with your emotions and your subconscious mind to, you know, to trick yourself into believing that you can do it. It's just real critical and logical thinking. I mean, people who do it empower others. People who don't do it disempower others.
And I think that's so important. I think that's such a real good takeaway from this, because it re-emphasizes how much power we have on creating our results, on creating our world. Nobody else can do it for us. It's up to us to put the pieces together and choose whether it's a success or a failure, or possible or probable or impossible. It only happens when you step up and do it. I mean, like, you were really young when you went to New Zealand and Antarctica, and the myth is, you know, you can't do that at that age. You can't do these things. And we get so caught up on these myths, rather than why not actually just trying to do it, that we end up holding our own selves back and we end up dulling our purpose.
That's true. And I think in the end, I think it all comes down to 100% accountability for your own life. I mean, 100% accountability, I think, is critical. And I don't mean about blaming people. I don't mean about blaming anyone, but actually assuming full accountability for your own results. And I think the road is pretty much logical and clear. I mean, let's say you are in this moment of time today and you have a huge dream or ambition that you want to fulfill in your life. The only thing that the only reason why you are not there now is because you still do not have the information on how to get there. And if you have the information, you don't have the willingness to do it. So it's not a matter of possibility or impossibility. It's a matter of discovering the practical information of how you can get there, learning the business, what steps are, you know, what are the steps, taking the chances, and then being actually willing to do it. Because, for example, I had two very interesting meetings. I was in Nepal at the Buddhist monastery, and I was speaking to this Buddhist monk about what actually leads to fulfillment in life. Because this individual has fled from Tibet very young. He was about 5 or 6 years old, and his parents had to stay behind in Tibet, and because of the Chinese oppression, he had to leave to Nepal and took refuge in a monastery. Now he was in his 40s, traveling the world, teaching about Buddhism. And I asked him, what is the difference that, you know, between your world and our modern world? You know, how can you be so happy, and why do we have so many issues in our Western society where, you know, we have basically everything we need, but we just don't know yet how to have that peace of mind and calmness that you speak about and you obviously have. And he said that, you know, in the modern, he was very blunt and said, you know, laughing, he said, you are a bit delusional in the modern, in the West, because you have all these technologies. You have the internet, you have bookstores, you have libraries, you even have mobile apps for meditation. I mean, for us, that's totally incredible. You know, I mean, we just sit down and close our eyes and breathe. We don't need iPhones to, you know, to meditate. But the difference is that you have all the knowledge, you have all the information, but you simply don't apply it. Okay, that was interesting. And the other discovery that I had was, I was looking at the interview with Gene Kranz, and Gene Kranz is the former director of the Apollo missions. So basically, he was in charge of landing on Mars, on the moon, the Apollo missions, Apollo 11 and all that followed. And he said that modern generations have to shift their thinking. I mean, if we want to accomplish what we have accomplished in the past, to accomplish greater things in the future, we have to shift our mindset from being into doing. Like, we polish too much who we are and we lose focus on what we are doing. The only way that you can actually become somebody is by doing something. So in the doing, you become, not the other way around, you know? And
that's the trick, because, you know, we also said that the being lets you do that, but the being doesn't necessarily mean staying in your head. The being is still doing. It's just doing the things that actually move you on an exponential level. So that's why a lot of people, I think, get stuck with that whole idea, like, do I have to be it and think about it and philosophize on it, or do I actually sit down and do the work?
No, you have to do the work. There's no other way. I think that's my lesson, that unless you do really, really, or I mean, really hard work, and I don't mean like hard work in terms of, you know, you have to be exhausted, but I think you have to put the energy and the effort into your passions. If you think about it and you don't do it, there's nothing. I mean, let's think of, you know, an astronaut, even if he trains for many years, he only becomes an astronaut the moment he flies into space. Right? So he can think about it, he can dream about it, he can work for it, but I mean, he only becomes when he does it. And also, I mean, if you want to be like a polar explorer, right? You become an explorer, not by going to the bookstore and buying books of, you know, Antarctica or the mountains or the deserts. You actually become the explorer by taking the chances and doing and living what you preach. I think it also applies in our life. You know, if you want, for example, if you have the idea that you're a kind individual, or if you're a good individual, you're generous, you only become generous in the giving. It has no value if you don't take action, if you don't actually do it.
No, you're not practicing what you preach. You're not living in the end.
Exactly. And I was actually, I have a good friend in Slovenia, and she wrote a book. And one of my favorite quotes in that book is that she took an interview with an American millionaire, and this guy said, you know, everyone likes stories. You know, you speak about how Colonel Sanders, you know, tried 1200 times with KFC, or how Edison failed 900 times with the light bulb and so on. But for you, it just remains on a story level. You don't live what you preach, you know? And actually for me, this is also like a good lesson in life, because I was actually curious, what are the first hard, difficult years of working on a lifelong project, a lifelong mission? And I was studying, for example, Angry Birds, right? Angry Birds took a few years, and they built 51 games that nobody has ever heard about before they launched Angry Birds. They had a huge success with that. It's 51 games on a few years of work. If you look at Jon Bon Jovi, he's probably the best seller of rock stars in history. The moment he launched his first hit, he didn't have an album. He just had the hit Runaway on the radio. The moment he had this hit on the radio, he had 400 songs written by then that nobody actually used, not even himself. And that's years of hard work, about 2 or 3 years of hard work for nothing. So my question to your listeners is, how many years do you spend working really hard on your dreams before you give up? That's the question. Because the more time you put into something, the better the result. I know at a specific level it sounds obvious, but putting it into practice is the most difficult thing. And that's, I think, it's where it makes the difference between success and failures. That's my view on the world.
Well, I love what you're saying as well about stories, because it was a question that I wanted to bring up, and you so aptly answered it. You read my mind. The whole idea is that stories, they're great for movements. They're great for inspiration. They're great for that kind of fuzzy feeling, mm-hmm. you know, and getting you to see something from a different perspective. Okay. That's why the amazing you is, you know, it's in that space. But the invitation doesn't just live in connecting with a good story. It's exactly what you just asked now. It's how do you apply it and move into creation? Because otherwise you're just living a half life. You're just living in the world of stories and good ideas and, again, positive thinking, which is what you started with, rather than the scientific end result of what is X and what is it that you're actually creating and how did you actually get there?
Okay, so I think we speak on, again, on two different levels. I think there are two different worlds, you know, in which we have to live. First of all is the inner world, mm-hmm. you know, what we actually value about the world, what are the problems that we are most upset about in this world, like what we put value on things, and what we really care about in this world, what is the legacy that we want to live in this world, and it's about our inner world. And on a different level is about the outer world. Like, what is the social context? What are we trying to change in the world? What are the business rules that we have to play by? You know, what are the laws, regulations, financial aspects of the issue? And I think I think we all have to find the bridge between the two worlds, you know? The question is, how do you transform purpose, that nice feeling, you know, I'm fulfilled, I'm doing what I love, into a tangible benefit for the world, what others want, what they demand from you, what can you offer them, and so on. And I think the question that we all have to ask is, what is that I can share with the world? Obviously, going from what you value and transforming that what you value into a tangible product for the others. I think that it all comes down to how you answer this question, how you transform that. Because honestly, nobody cares about what others' purpose is, you know, it's a nice story, it's a nice concept, but people care about themselves, which is obviously very, very good. So our challenge is to find a way to bridge our passions, our desires into a tangible benefit for the world. And I think that's the critical question that we can ask. You know, how can I contribute to your success? What can I give you to make your life easier, to make your life better? And in that contribution, I'm always finding the resources to fill my own dreams. For example, when I was 24 years old, I wanted to go to Antarctica and I had absolutely no money. I was just, I just finished my university and I was starting up as a PhD student. And obviously my passion was to go to Antarctica, to travel to the coldest and the most remote regions of the world. But since I had no money, I needed somebody to give me either the opportunity or the finances to do it. And I wrote down, okay, who are the institutions, people, organizations involved with Antarctica? And it was a huge list. Then I began to take them one by one and say, okay, if they are a research institution, how can I contribute to their problems? How can I solve their situations? How can I support their work? If they were, for example, a private company, a commercial company going to Antarctica, I wrote down, how can I make the company go even better? How can I contribute to their company? How can I offer them something? And what can I offer them to be able to get on board and to help their success as well? And that's how I eventually did it. By constantly asking how can I contribute to your success, and asking for feedback, you know, saying, you know, this is what I can offer. But if you need anything else, I'm willing to either learn to do it or, you know, find ways to do it for you. And it always, always works.
Absolutely. And it also speaks into fulfillment, because you're then fulfilling somebody else's need, because they would have need to have filled that position or that mm-hmm. need or that service. And you get to feel fulfillment on your side. So it's so much more
exactly.
that way.
I mean, think about, there's a common trend nowadays. That, you know, some companies want their employees to be more motivated and, you know, to produce results. Let's look for a moment at the event chain in the mind of a human being from results, which is the final chain, piece of the chain to the beginning. So let's say the final piece of the puzzle is the outcome and the results and the successes that you want, right? Going a step behind, mm-hmm. what is it that you need to create that result, that success? It's obviously is continuous education, is really hard work. Going a step behind, what do you need to be able to constantly learn and to have and to put the effort? Obviously, you need to be inspired. You have to be motivated. Okay, so thinking about motivation, what does create motivation? And obviously, I think it, the most powerful magnifier of motivation is for each of us to live a sense, to live with a sense of purpose. You know, aligning the mind and the heart with the action. So aligning the three of them. What exactly gives you a sense of purpose? Going a step behind. You get into a sense of purpose by putting your life in the proper perspective. Okay, so how do you do it? First of all, you have to define and accept the uncomfortable reality that we are not going to be here forever, that time is the most valuable resource, and you simply do not have the time to postpone your dreams. You don't have the time to delay your, you know, what you value. You don't have the time to delay your passions and your purpose in life. So I think it all comes down to living authentic about who you are, about what you value, about the contribution that you want to make in this world, and all the other pieces of the chain, you know, like a sense of purpose and motivation and inspiration and hard work, education and results will follow after that. But if you want to work on the motivation level while still having the, you know, the most powerful pieces that are before that, unfulfilled, I don't think it's working, to be honest.
Oh, for sure. Because then you're just, well, first of all, you're trying to create a cheerleading team that's trying to just constantly buzz you up, like, I don't know, throw Red Bulls at you and just kind of keep you decaffeinated on your purpose. But, you know, as you don't believe in it, as you're not producing the results that are actually getting you, if you're not having the pillars and the foundations that support you, your cheerleaders are going to start, you know, fizzling out. There's only so much that they can throw at you and shout at you and praise at you until you kind of go into a sinking sand and you can't create what it is you want to create. So
exactly.
I'm totally with you on that.
Think about it for a moment. First of all, as human beings, we come into this world, you know, with living life on three different dimensions. We have the a body, which is basically the provider of action. We have a mind, which can give the direction in life, can go, you know, left or right, up or down. And also we have the emotions, which is basically the fuel and the raw energy that we put into our actions. Depression, most of the times, emerges as having these elements not aligned. So if you think one thing, you feel another thing, and you do the opposite, it's going to be a gap between these three elements. And the bigger the gap between them is, the bigger the depression that you can get into, and the bigger the regrets that you will have about your life and so on. So I think it's fundamentally important to have all these inner elements aligned. And that is the moment when we're actually being authentic and honest about who we are and about what we value and about what we want to contribute to the world. And the moment we begin lying to ourselves, you know, the moment we separate these elements, the biggest danger is that we become our worst enemies, because we are attacking from the inside and there's nobody else to be able to see it, you know. So that's something that we just have to feel for ourselves. You know, am I honestly and authentically being aligned and in love with my actions, in my thoughts and so on, or not? And I mean, if...
Or as your movie says, the most amazing.
Exactly.
You.
And I think if the answer to the question is no, first of all, don't judge it. I mean, we all have done it. We are all doing it sometimes. I think it's just a matter of not doing it continuously all the time, because I think the biggest regret, you know, at the end of a life is to look back and see it unfulfilled, wishing for something else when there is absolutely no chance to go around and make a change.
Absolutely. And the only way to do that is by seizing the opportunities, looking at what it is that you can contribute to the planet and to other people, so that you can push your purpose and your message and things that need to be going out there through the stratosphere.
Yes. Actually, I had a question at one of my events. I had a question,
yes.
You know, what do you do if, for example, you have a family, right? You have a wife and you have children that have to go to school, and you are accountable and you are responsible for them, and they conflict with your biggest dreams in life and if you want to do something else. And I think this question can come up again and again to most of us. And I think, again, it comes down to defining reality. What is really the situation? I mean, is my family really stopping me from fulfilling my dreams, or is it just like I'm not thinking about it properly? Am I making this too big of a problem that I get scared from it, or am I being overconfident about it? You know, and maybe I'll get them in trouble. But I think it comes down to sitting down, defining reality, and for if you have a family, that's something that you value. And if you value it, simply embrace it and value it as it is. Accept the situation, accept the context, give your best to that family. And also, by accepting this situation, by valuing it, by appreciating what you already have, you actually have the opportunity to discover new ways of building on your dreams. So I don't think
it... And it's so true. I mean, I've seen it in coaching as well, where people have kind of gone, you know, my family doesn't support me, or they think this and that of me. And it's like, well, what proof do you have? Like, what is the reality of the situation?
Mm-hmm.
I hear the story you're telling me. It's a really compelling story. It's like, you know, every soap opera's script, you know, juiciest thing. It's got everything you need in it. But that doesn't sound like reality. And until I get like a shared reality from everybody, that's the only way we can know, or we can actually reality test this and really see what's possible. So it's so important to always go back to reality, because we just create the most amazing stories and fragments and limiting beliefs for ourselves, yes. Don't we?
What's the question? I agree. I totally agree.
No, actually, no, we really do. Well, I know you're a busy, busy body, and you said that you're going to be needing to leave soon. But there's so much that the amazing you has brought up for you, and you know, this is one part of your conversation. I'm sure there's so many more conversations that are coming out of this experience. But if you could define the one thing that you're a global ambassador for, that message, what would that be? What is the cause that you're trying to rock out there?
Oh, that's a great question. The reason why I left the corporations and the reason why I invested all my money, all my savings into developing the amazing you, and the reason why I'm actually traveling the world and risking, you know, I could have just, you know, gotten a job in a corporation and have like this safe, secure future. The reason why I gave it all up is because I never want to see you or, you know, any other human being again with a broken heart, because dreams only seem to be out of reach. So what I stand for is all of us have within ourselves the power to accomplish what we want. And I don't say it in terms of motivation and inspiration. I say it as a reality, because I started up with actually absolutely no support from no money or no financial investments from anybody. I built everything, you know, just by really, really thinking and studying and working on them. And if I didn't have the resources, actually, I convinced other people to support me, because there are some really, really wonderful people in this world who, if you know how to approach and how to actually be honest about your requests, they will surely help you. And I think that power that we can all tap into to fulfill our dreams comes only from discovering what we really, really value. For me, that's actually, that's the mystery of the world. That's the spirituality that we all search for and try to follow, but actually to understand. So I don't stop at a superficial level. Actually, I go and try to understand the truth about, to the best of my abilities, at least, of what this world is about. And also the ways to, obviously, once you discover what you value, how do you transform that, you know, that heartfelt desire into reality? What immediately seems to be impossible. How do you find the power to spend 5, 10, 15 years to create your own vision? So that's what I stand for, is not wasting, you know, not being a passenger, like an aimless passenger in life, but actually taking every step in the fulfillment and in the realization that we do have the power to do what our hearts tell us to do, but we also need to develop the mind to be able to do it.
And just as you say that, I'm getting so much goosebumps, because you're really walking and talking that message. You're really putting yourself out there. You know, you're the kind of go-to person that people can see in that message. And even though you're still on that journey, you've got heaps and heaps and heaps of amazing insights and things to share with the world, and the world really needs to tap into not just the amazing
Let me tell you just a quick story before we finish. I was, you know, if you, usually when people come to the movie, to the screenings, they say, wow, this is so nice, thank you for the inspiration, it's been a great hour. But nobody actually asks, you know, how was the journey, how long it took, how did you have any problems and so on. And I was last year, in January, about this time of the year, when I was in full production with the film, everything simply collapsed in my life. So I was broke. I ended a relationship after 6 years. I had to move out from the house. My team, my post-production team with the movie left. So now, you know, I hit rock bottom with everything, and I was asking the question, okay, should I, because winter was here and it was half a meter of snow, and I was thinking, should I buy shoes with my with the money, or should I actually invest all my finances and continue creating this film? Yeah, and actually I put all the money in the film, and I was with a friend one day, and you know, I was thinking, you know, how can you fail while making a movie on how to achieve success? You know, I was keep asking this question. I was keep asking, why am I failing, you know, when I'm doing something good, when I'm trying to help others achieve their own dreams, you know? And why is it so difficult for me? And this friend of mine, who is a musician, simply asked me a question. Said, look, do you want to be a speaker that goes from books and reads from the books and speaks what he wrote, he read in a book, or like a cover band playing the songs of others? Or do you want to play your own music, to play your own songs and to really be authentic? And I said, without understanding his thoughts, I said, well, of course, I want to be authentic and I want to speak from my own experience and my own books. Well, if you want to be authentic, here is your best opportunity. So if you will go through this and you will succeed making this film on this project, and the moment you will be up on a stage, or the moment you will be on radio, or, you know, have a show, when somebody comes to you and says, you know, I'm in pain, I can't move forward, and, you know, I have no idea where to go from here, you will have the emotional experience of that person. So you will be able to understand the pain, and because you felt it, and you will be able to actually speak and give that person a helping hand, not just a nice, comfortable word. So I just, you know, I embraced the situation, I accepted, and I got through it. But it was really, really painful. And for a long time, it seemed like, you know, where is the end of it?
Absolutely. So the journey often is filled with all these challenges and these tests and these moments. And as you say, it's really those things that define you. It's almost these things that also, again, test you. Like, how much do you really want to own the space? How much do you really want to stand for being a global ambassador in the space? Like, do you really know what it takes? And it pushes you. It does. But when you step into that and you keep doing the work, keep being, keep doing,
mm-hmm.
keep in that end result. It might take a little bit longer and you might get cold feet, literally, but, you know.
And I think it sometimes can actually go to the question, do you really deserve, you know, to have this position in the world?
Mm.
Well, I don't know yet. I will see in the future.
Well, I think
I don't know. I'm not taking anything for granted anymore, because I think it appreciation for what you have is fundamental to be able to push yourself forward in whatever direction you choose.
Well, here's to keep writing your story and keeping on that adventure.
Amen.
Well, Douglas, it's been absolutely amazing having you here. We could chat for hours, I'm sure, on this and so much more. Tell us a little bit more about how people can connect with the film and download it and support you in that quest.
Yeah, well, I mean, if people listen so far, I want to say how much I appreciate them for taking an hour of their time to listen to our show. Basically, the movie can be either rented or downloaded at theamazingmovie.com. If they want to do screenings in their own towns, there's also my information contact there, to simply drop me an email and we'll find a way to find the screening in their own town. I'm also preparing a world tour. Actually, I'm just starting in Europe, and in March I'll be going throughout the US. So if people in the US want to have organized screenings and to have me as a keynote speaker, or to have Q&A sessions, the website is either theamazingmovie.com or theamazingutour.com, one of the others.
And I'll be watching that and adding those details to the summit as well, so that people have that upfront.
Great. That's great. Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to share?
No, that's all. I just want to say that thank you so much for having me on this show. Thank you so much for the audience who have, you know, spent 1 hour together with us. And I hope to see you and the people who are listening somewhere in this world.
We're living a time in the history of our civilization, in the history of this world, a time unlike any other in 5,000 years of human history.
We're in an evolutionary process, and we're in an era of super high-speed transformation.
There's so much information, there's so much knowledge, there's so many techniques, there's so many tools that it's overwhelming.
And a lot of people today are asking, you know, what's next? What am I supposed to do? Why am I here? And they're really looking for more purpose in their life.
Who am I? What do I believe in? What do I want to be persistent about?
The world is changing. What does it mean for our jobs? What's it mean for the way we deal with our families? And where do we put our passion? And how do we deal with this new world that's emerging?
Find out what you're committed to. Sit down, think about it, meditate on it, write it down, find it.
You have the responsibility to be honest with yourself about who you are and about what you want in life.
It opens the door to the possibility of where our passion may lead. Because we're not saying, how can I be rewarded? We're saying, what do I have to contribute?
It's a fulfilling thing. You know, it's very fulfilling.
You do what you like and know it has meaning. What could be more fun in life?
Doesn't matter if you're a kid or a teenager or somebody in midlife, that's the key. That will change your life.
Now, it's time to do it. You have the real motivation. Everything comes together, mind and heart.
If you decide what you really want and focus on it and write it down and think about it, you'll get there.
You've been able to get the information, the knowledge, the wisdom that you need in a quick and timely manner.
You're seeing something nobody else has ever seen before.
You will discover the amazing you, and you will learn how to design and engineer your life in new and meaningful ways.
It's also giving us the ability to learn, to grow, to change, and to transform like we never have before.
It's part of creating an environment where people have the courage to try new things and be very, very successful.
It's a transformation of the way you view the world. It's a transformation in the way you think.
So now we have the information. It's up to us. What do we do with that information?
The world is actually far better than you think.
Senator Ms. Dominique Tillmans, the Belgium of the Belgian Parliament, shared this after having worked with Dragos. She said, "I would like to thank you for having actively participated and contributed to the success of the European Interparliamentary Space Conference, which was being held in the Belgium Senate. Your contribution to the debate was really appreciated." And it's stories like that, with a dream like that, that take this hunger to every corner of the world. It's no surprise that when you're in that space, things happen. Because it really does start with that bang. It's that bold commitment to what you're after, and it's taking it to anywhere in the world, and maybe even to the moon, to the stars, and beyond. Back on Earth, currently, Dragos is currently in his US tour, and you can meet him in Arizona, or you can check out the full schedule of where you can connect with him in the States by going to www.theamazingyourtour.com. And for all of you in South Africa, Dragos, Nico de Klerk, and I are planning a national tour, but I can't tell you anything more about that just yet, so watch your mailboxes for more information. Here's a few last parting insights from Dragos. This is what he has to say about leadership. The most important thing about leadership is that understanding that you are the leader of your life. You have a major responsibility to be honest, and you need to have the courage to speak your truth about who you are, what you value, and how you plan to make that contribution in the world. Because you are forever accountable to yourself. And not anybody else can do anything about it. only you. It's about what you do and what you fail to do. Remember that a moment you begin lying to yourself about who you are and what's important to you is the moment you become your most dangerous enemy, attacking yourself from the inside. Assuming full responsibility and accountability for the contribution you want to bring to this world opens a door for you to build the most powerful dimensions you need to accomplish your dreams. The moment you align your enthusiasm with your competence and marry them together in service of sharing the most value is the moment you speak to that mountain and say, "Mountain, move away." And what will the mountain do? The mountain won't necessarily go anywhere, but in that moment, you will have discovered within yourself the power to climb that mountain all the way to the top. Your commitment shakes the very foundation of the universe. Always remember that. Always share your innermost value and never stop learning. And to keep true with his truth, here's a clip from his upcoming follow-up film, which is currently in the making, The Power of You.
Hi everyone, this is Dragos, and I want to invite all of you to one of our studios. We have just begun working on our second project called The Power of You. And this new movie will take you from a humble beginning to an incredible success. So throughout this journey, throughout this incredible journey, we will be sharing with you videos from behind the scenes, inspiration and wisdom from our speakers in this film. So please follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, keep in touch and stay tuned for more and more videos coming very soon. Until then, all the best and see you soon.
Ever heard of moonshot thinking? Well, some visionary once said this: "I think our ambitions are a glass ceiling in what we can accomplish. When you find your passion, you're unstoppable. You can make amazing things happen." It's been true throughout all of history. I believe in the human spirit, and I believe that there are always going to be those crazy people who will get out of bed one morning and say, "You know what? I think I can build a space zone." I think that if we become afraid to take these big risks, we stop inspiring people. We stop achieving things. And the biggest nightmare scenario is that we won't have what it takes to solve the really big challenges. When Kennedy said that we will put a man on the moon, it's about the fact that he said we don't know how to do this yet. And we're going to do it anyway. And that sends chills up everybody's spines. Because if that happens, what couldn't we do? Dragos and Lena are all about moonshot thinking. Are you? Are you willing to take your cause, your passion, your purpose, your business to the moon and back? I know I am. Even though it sends chills through my spine.